Hi everyone, and welcome to the Cambridge University Law Society podcast. My name is Janice, I'm the new host, and I'm really excited to bring you conversations with academics, practitioners, and students about all things law. Make sure to stay updated by following us on our social media pages, and if there's anything you'd like to hear about or anyone you'd like us to feature, drop us a message on Instagram and I'll do my best to make that happen for you. With that out of the way, this episode is a general Meet the Committee session with Culls, and hopefully this gives you a flavour of what the Law Society is like, the different roles of it, the lives of law students at Cambridge, and maybe even some advice or inspiration along the way. So without further ado, let's get started. So today we have Jinghao and Shakti from Pro Bono, and Sophie Farr from Socials. Do you guys want to introduce yourself? Tell us what you're doing, who you are, what colleges, courses, etc., etc.
Hi, I'm Shakti. I'm the head of the pro bono for this year. I'm at Lucy Cavendish College and I'm doing the accelerated degree. So it's 2 years instead of three because I have a previous degree. Really excited to be the head of pro bono and to get started with all the initiatives. It's been hectic so far, but we're really excited to introduce new opportunities for CULS members and for law students in general to get some volunteering experience and internship experience and hopefully some legal clinic experience as well.
Hi, I'm Jinghao. I'm a second year lawyer from Wolfson. And yeah, similar to what Shakti said, I think we're really excited. We have a lot of new initiatives in the works this year and happy to share them with you all.
Hi, I'm Sophie. I'm a second year lawyer at Newnham and I'm the social secretary. We've got lots of fun events organised. So starting off with like firm dinners. So a lot of the solicitors and firms are coming in for events. So you'll get to network and then also just some more relaxed socials with the rest of your cohorts as well.
Excellent. Okay, so let's start with pro bono. Can you guys talk a little bit about what you're planning on doing this year? Anything you're thinking of doing differently? What are the big sort of issues in pro bono?
So this year we've already opened volunteering opportunities for students to help at an organization called IPSI. And essentially the students are going to be giving advice on advice helplines to families who have children with SEN, special needs and disabilities, to get access to different areas of law and ask questions to our helpline. So essentially, students will be committing around 3 hours a week, and we've had plenty of applications, and we're really excited to see how that progresses over the next year. But we've also got a whole bunch of new initiatives that we're hoping on expanding to law students as well, which Jinghao can talk about with Praxis.
Yeah, so Praxis is actually, so for a couple of years now, the Law Society has been trying to push for a legal clinic run by students. And it's kind of never really got off the ground for various reasons. But this year, we've partnered up with some students out of Oxford to run a student's legal clinic. So how it works is essentially, this is kind of outside the faculty, but students will be conducting legal research for nonprofits, NGOs, legal think tanks, that sort of thing. And this research will be essentially signed off by actual practicing lawyers. Most of them are from the major solicitor firms. So as far as I know, and some of the big American firms are actually on board, and they're also willing to provide that kind of pro bono work. And the students will essentially be doing the research. They'll even get to draft their own opinions, legal opinions on how the cases should go. And then that will be signed off by the lawyer and be sent to the various participating organizations. So we're really excited about this. It's not actually, it's not fully coordinated by the pro bono department. So we do have two other coordinators, Millie and Joy, who are running the initiative. So anyone interested should reach out to them. But we're also kind of keeping tabs and helping to facilitate various resources that they might need. Yeah, so that's something we're really excited about.
Some other things you can look forward to in Michaelmas, we're having a panel for Pro Bono Week, which is at the beginning of November. So please come to the panel. We're going to be talking to different solicitors and people who work in various either law firms or in organizations about the kind of pro bono work they do, because this year's theme is pro bono in action. And we're also trying to see if we can set up more of an internal, maybe not clinic as a way to describe it, but internal internship and volunteering opportunities to do more legal research with maybe an environmental law foundation. So if you're interested in that, keep an eye out on the socials. And in Lent term or the beginning of Easter term, we're also going to have our pro bono awards. So you can submit to us the kind of work you've been doing pro bono wise and how many hours you've been doing, and you could be up to win an award at the end of the year.
Yeah, I think the last initiative we kind of have is the International Law Book Facility. So this is something we've been doing for a few years now. Essentially what happens is we will collect sort of disused law books, textbooks, that sort of thing from the various college libraries, and we'll consolidate them and pack them, and they'll be sent to a partner institution. So last year it was donated to this university in Ukraine, which is quite meaningful, I think. And we're not sure who the recipient will be this year, but we're quite excited to do that again. And that the packing and sorting, we will need volunteers for that, so please sign up. But the packing and sorting for that would kind of take place around mid-November.
The last thing to keep an eye out for is sign-ups for Amicus, where you can help with doing casework for people on death row. And I think that should come out at the end of Michaelmas term. But you can also sign up to be a freshers rep to get involved with the coordination of the casework for Amicus. So keep an eye out for a forum where you can sign up for either ILBF or Amicus or both.
Yeah, that sounds really exciting, you guys. It sounds like you got a jam-packed term card. What are some initiatives that you think were most surprising to you, or like what has been surprising about coming into this role?
I think an initiative that really surprised me was Praxis, because that kind of came out of left field a little bit. We came into the year thinking how we could integrate Cambridge to have a law clinic, because that has been such a pressing topic for the past couple of years. And as Jinghao said, there have been many reasons why it hasn't gone forward. So having this opportunity to collab with Oxford and with lawyers outside of Cambridge University itself is incredible, and we can't wait to see it take off. I've had quite a bit of pro bono experience in the past. I've worked at the UNHCR and the ICC, and I'm really excited to see how I can give more opportunities, how we can give more opportunities to Cambridge law students to start building their repertoire up in pro bono work, and hopefully also get them more interested in the field as a proper career rather than something they just do on the side, because it's such important work.
Your work at the UNHCR, like, what did you do there?
I was working as a protection fellow in Hong Kong. So it was in the Hong Kong sub office, and we were essentially helping people who had got their claims substantiated by the Hong Kong government, helping them resettle to Canada or America.
Oh, wow. How long were you there for?
6 months.
Oh my goodness. When was this?
It was after I finished my first degree. So it was last year from like March.
Interesting. So how did you end up here? How did you end up doing like the accelerated degree? And how's that been for you?
It's been great so far. Definitely very intense. But I started off in the Netherlands for my first degree, and I did it at a liberal arts and sciences university. So it was university college. And I majored in international law and minor in political science and international relations because I wasn't too sure what exactly I wanted to do. I realized I loved international law. I managed to get some work experience at the International Criminal Court, which I thought was incredible. And I realized that a future in international law as a lawyer was for me rather than just the academic path, which is what my degree would have given me. So I took a year off in between to get some work experience doing commercial stuff. I got this amazing position at the UNHCR sub office in Hong Kong, and I ended up applying for Cambridge in the two-year degree. And I love it so far, but it's definitely been intense.
What do you think was most exciting to you about pursuing kind of pro bono and like international law as a career?
I don't know how to phrase it, but it excites me so much internally. I feel like it definitely lights a bit of a fire inside of me. I think the biggest thing is seeing the impact that it has on people. For example, when I was at the UNHCR, being able to do a lot of like client interactions and meetings and talking to the refugees, knowing that the work you do has such an impact on the lives of those you're helping, I think that's it for me and what I want to do. And being able to do international law on the greater scale and hopefully ending up working somewhere like the ICC would be incredible.
I can see that happening for you. Thank you guys for sharing. We're going to move on to Sophie. So Sophie, tell us a bit about what kind of socials you have planned this year, what it was like coming into the socials role.
Yeah, definitely. So I'm really excited personally to relive my first year through the Freshers Cocktails, which are happening next week. So it's going to be Zamri, me and 80 Freshers in La Raza. So
that Freshers Cocktail was lit. It was great.
Evening. I know it was. Most of my friends.
I know. And you're like a really good way to get to meet new people, because it's like La Raza is like such a nice place to be as well. The cocktails are amazing.
So good. Yeah. They're like £15 usually. So I worry I'm going to feel slightly geriatric sitting there with all the Freshers.
Well, okay. So I was the socials prep last year for Culls, and we did like a similar cocktail night kind of vibe, and I had so many free cocktails despite being like on duty, and it was a really good time. So I feel like,
so maybe we'll just let loose with the freshers. And I'm also so excited to see some of the firm dinners even coming into fruition. I think it's a lot of like emailing back and forth with both like the firms and then obviously the venues and things. The menus are great. Really, really excited for that, to try some new food some places. And also just like the graduate recruitment people I've been speaking to you so far about these events genuinely seem so warm and friendly. So I'm hoping that all of our applicants are going to have a great time when they're actually there at the dinner and learn a lot about the firms, because it's great stuff to write about for your applications.
Yeah, definitely. What would you say are things that help people stand out on their applications? Because I know, like, for these dinners, you do need to apply to them.
I've had a couple of people ask me this already. I think make sure you're like using the character count, like be meaningful with it, and make sure you're researching the firm itself. Like, although we screen a lot of them rather than the firm, for me, it's really important that you're not there for a free dinner. Like, you want to see kind of an interest in what they actually do. Don't write about competition in a firm that's mainly focused on M&A. Like, tailor your application to the firm, show your genuine commercial awareness. And it's usually a max of like 150, 250 words. So don't be put off from applying just because of the application.
Yeah, that sounds great. So what are the events you're most looking forward to for this term, for Michaelmas? What can freshers look forward to besides cocktail nights?
I think I'm personally really excited for the Milbank dinner that's happening on the 5th. I'm really interested in US firms to look at for training and haven't actually had any hands-on experience with many of them. So I think for me personally, I'm very excited for that. In addition to like the cocktail events, we're looking at perhaps doing just some more chilled socials as well, like just being able to get to know each other outside of either LG19 or LG18, just a bit of rest and relaxation. And yeah, so I think it's not all cocktails, and there's also kind of a broader social calendar that Zamri and I are working really hard on at the moment.
Oh, that's so exciting. Can we get in a sneak peek? Anything that's in the works?
I'm very excited. Something that Izzy and Hannah did for the first time last year was the Oxford-Cambridge Law Dinner. We're hoping to do that again this year in Lent term. And honestly, was one of the highlights of my first year. Such a great evening. Sat on a table of really, really funny people from Oxford. So just a great time all round. So organising that and having a guaranteed ability to take part, I'm very excited for. I think that's something to watch out for, and make sure to get your tickets for that early because it's sold out within like minute.
How has second year been treating you so far? How's it like being back in Cambridge?
Yeah, definitely. I'm so excited to be back in Cambridge with everyone. And we've just started lectures at the end of last week. So kind of scary to be going up to 5 papers, but I'm doing obviously contracts and land, then criminal justice in context, family law and admin law. And it's all been really interesting so far. Summer was great. I'm Linklaters brand ambassador for this year, and we're doing quite a lot of collaborations with other brand ambassadors and Coles. So I've got a Meet the Brand Ambassador event coming up next weekend that Coles is promoting. So make sure to come down and ask any questions about particularly like first year schemes or vacation schemes to us then. I'd really recommend coming to meet us and make the best of that opportunity.
We're here with Rishik. Rishik, do you want to talk a bit about what you do with the Law Society, what your role is, how that's new, and how it's in addition to the careers office?
Yeah, great. I'm Rishik, so I'm one of the careers secretaries, which is a role that already exists. But specifically within that department, there's a new role, which is the barrister's officer. And myself and Sebastian, we're both currently the barrister's officers, which involves, well, effectively, it's kind of, because the barrister profession is slightly maybe more niche or not as commonly sought after, and careers events aren't generally as well structured as solicitor firms. Coles has tried to set this up, the executive committee set this up to try and organise barrister careers pathways, and people who are more like interested in the barrister path, try and organise it a bit better. So our role is kind of just facilitating that and sorting barrister specific events. Helping people, we've set up a mini pupillage application tracker to kind of mimic the solicitor firm trackers, because in general with the bar, it's a bit more, you know, things are more are less kind of centrally organized compared to solicitor firms, where there's always like, you know, an application period and that kind of thing. So we're just trying to help students who are interested in the bar learn a bit more, those who are already interested get a better sense of how applications and that kind of thing work.
That's so neat. Okay, so this barrister's office is something that you've built from the ground up. What has that experience been like?
Yeah, it's been very interesting. Partly because, I mean, there was a handover document for careers, but we kind of had a clean slate to go with. It's not been, you know, a smooth ride. It's been quite difficult, but it's been interesting trying to carve out our own types of events, organizing panels for speakers, trying to organize networking events. coming up with our own sort of documents and things to just help people with applications, helping out with the mooting officers and that kind of thing. So it's quite a cool role that we get to branch out into different departments of Coles as well. And yeah, it's been great working with Sebastian, and the executive have been so helpful in kind of guiding us, because, you know, it's quite difficult trying to, you know, reach out to all these chambers and get events with them. And we've got some interesting events coming up at some point in first term. I can tell you the date right now, but it's on the term card probably. There's a Women at the Bar event that we've organised, which should be great and really insightful, especially because the bar's quite a sort of traditional place, very kind of old, typically white, typically male. And so it's quite nice to have these kind of sort of diversity events. And in second term, we're going to have a family law panel and networking as well. So lots of exciting things coming up. And yeah.
Well, that sounds very exciting. Lots of things to look forward to. What would you say? Okay, I know you do a lot of moots, and I think moots are the things to do if you're an aspiring barrister. Is that correct?
Yeah, I would say it's definitely like a way to give yourself a flavour of it.
So what would you say have been your favourite moots? I know you did the Oxford Cambridge Varsity Roman Law moot. Can you speak a little bit about that and what that was like?
Yeah, that was really interesting. That was a strange one because, I mean, it happened after exams. And, well, my plan was to have a lot of fun after exams, and I did anyway. But I signed up for that moot thinking it's just an interesting opportunity. Cambridge, Oxford. Roman law wasn't something I was particularly like a fan of in first year, but I found the experience of actually mooting on Roman law much more fun than I found studying Roman law, which was really cool. And I got to meet, I mean, there was the Cambridge team. Usually how it works is there's four people on the Cambridge team, four people on the Oxford team, and it was quite cool. I didn't really know a couple of the people on the Cambridge team very well, so got to get to know them in like kind of a chill after exams way where we were doing stuff, but you know, it wasn't like a massive time commitment. And yeah, the competition was really nice. Got to meet people from Oxford as well. And yeah, practicing our mooting skills, but like pretending we were in 500 AD, which was like not something I was used to, but definitely found quite fun and got a nice dinner and everything. So the Varsity Roman Law moot was actually something, yeah, I really enjoyed that. It was one that I didn't expect to enjoy as much as I did.
That sounds really neat. So what was that experience like? Like, how did you sign up for it? Like, what were the qualifying things for actually doing the moot?
Yeah, so unlike most moots that happen at Cambridge, which are organised through Coles, so Coles usually sends out emails, this one was organised through the faculty. So one of the professors sent out an email basically to students advertising the Varsity Roman Law moot and then asking you to send basically your CV. And then, well, I couldn't tell you how he picked, but he picked from there. And then that all happened before exams. So I really was not thinking about it at all. And then after exams, he kind of sent out an email saying, well, like, let's meet, let's discuss this kind of stuff. And we had a couple meetings, you know, we were all talking quite a bit. And then, yeah, it just led up to the competition, which was, again, yeah, it was nice because it was not very intense preparation because it happened just during the summer. And it's just something to do. Like, I mean, exams finished so quite early for us. So just something random else to do, which was actually really fun and productive.
Okay, so besides mooting, Rishik is a man of many talents. He does jazz at Selwyn, if I'm not wrong.
Yeah.
Do you want to speak a little bit about what your life is like outside of law, outside of Coles, those sort of things?
Yeah, I mean, one of the things, I don't know, like people have different ways of trying to enjoy their uni experience. For me, it was like, I was quite happy to get involved with like as many extracurriculars as I could without destroying my sleep schedule. So I'm the drummer on Selwyn Jazz Band for Queens, which is my college. And yeah, just like audition for various random things, get involved with like theatre pit bands and that kind of stuff. That's how I spend most of my time. Yeah.
How do you kind of time manage? Like, give me some tips and tricks to conquer first year or even second year.
I think most of it was for first year was trying to kind of understand that what's very different from kind of school is basically just like everything you do is for yourself. Like, it's not about impressing a supervisor. It's about like what works best for you. And the thing with law and with like being at Cambridge is there's always more work you can do. And it's just about like sometimes actually forcing yourself to do extracurriculars, which force you to take your time away from work, which kind of just like so that you first of all become a bit more efficient at the time you have to work, but also so that you're not really like sort of sitting in the library or sitting in the room just like absolutely like just like destroying yourself. So I think I kind of just forced myself to get involved as much as possible. I thought that was the best way for me to just like take time off things.
Well, that's great. Okay, I think that's all the time we have for today.
Thank you so much for having me on.
Okay, we're here with Alden, Chloe, and Cheyenne. Do you guys want to do a little bit of an introduction?
Hi, I'm Alden. I'm a third year law student at Christ, and I'm an alumni relations officer.
Hi, I'm Chloe. I'm a third year lawyer at Clare, and I'm the editor-in-chief of Per Inc., our magazine.
Hi, I'm Cheyenne. I'm a year two lawyer at Downing, and I'm the VP for Law Ball.
All right, Cheyenne, let's start with you. You are the vice president for Law Ball. Can you talk a little bit about what the preparation has been like for that? What are the things leading up to it? Any like events before Law Ball?
I think it's been pretty exciting so far. So I'm mainly in charge of food, drinks, and decor, and it's been really exciting because I've been able to go for taste testing sessions, obviously try some drinks, and also look at decor along with other members of our exec committee. And I think that it's really exciting. We have a lot of big, fun ideas, especially in terms of like ents and also decor. And I'm really excited to see it all come together in December. Yeah.
And that's very exciting. And were you at Law Ball last year? What was experience like then?
I was at Law Ball last year and it was honestly a blast.
Because it's like one of the first balls that freshers go to, basically.
Yeah, exactly.
It's so early in the year that it's like the first kind of like introduction to like what a ball at Cambridge is like.
Yeah.
Yeah. It is kind of like a good way to get to know your cohort in a way. Yeah.
Yeah.
What was it like last year for
you? I think that it was quite fun. Like, I thought the ends were really interesting. And I think...
Yeah. Was there like a Taylor Swift tribute?
Yeah, there's so many collective acts. Yeah. And I think that I got to know a lot of other lawyers in the event, even though like there are a ton of like other non-lawyers who came because they heard a lot of good things about Law Ball. So I was really excited because I enjoy events planning. And that's also why I wanted to continue the legacy of fun Law Balls.
That's very nice. What was your favorite food of the night last year? And what are you hoping that you get to repeat this year?
This one's kind of basic, but I really like Jack's. I think I got four
Jack's
servings.
Jack's is like classic. Mm. I think at Mabel's, I had like a massive serving of Jack's. I had like four scoops. I was like, this is a little rogue, but I want that, and that. And I want it all in the same cup. And he let me do it. Mm. Yeah. Okay. What about tribute acts? Like, or like any like entertainment? What did you really enjoy last year? And what do you think you're looking forward to this year without like dropping too many details?
I think the Taylor Swift tribute act was the most memorable, and I think this year we're going to carry on a lot of tribute acts and also a ton of fun ends that weren't there last year as well.
Very exciting. How are things changing? Are there any like improvements that are being made? What was the feedback like from last year's Law Ball, and what are you thinking of doing differently this year?
I think the main criticism we got was the lack of rainproofing, because last year Law Ball...
Oh, it did rain, didn't it? Yeah, I remember
it
that.
Was quite bad and it was freezing. So I think that the underutilization of our venue was one of the big problems. And I think that's something that we're trying to address in terms of amping up our decor or like just figuring out ways to utilize our space wisely. I think that's something that we really focused on this year. And I think that it's shown through our organization of the different ents and also our preparation in terms of decor and making sure it aligns to the theme.
In three words, can you tell me why I should go for Law Ball?
It's a blast. There you go.
Many fun things.
Come for it.
Okay, great. All right, Alden, can you talk a little bit about what it was like transitioning from being on the executive committee as your introduction to calls and now being on the main committee and your role as alumni relations officer?
I think the transition's actually quite natural because I really enjoyed my time being on the executive committee, because you kind of get to see all the things that are happening with the society. And it's a great introduction to the society in some ways, as you manage a little bit of all the different activities and you get a very good picture of how the society as a whole functions. Obviously, the downside is that there is quite a lot for you to do. So you have to manage many different aspects of it. You have to meet almost daily or weekly with different people. You have to liaise with many external organizations. And naturally, it takes quite a toll on your workload and your time. But now in kind of a lesser role as alumni relations officer, I find the work really meaningful as well. So we are mainly doing three main things this year. The first is the alumni mentorship scheme. So this is a scheme for students who are in their second, third, or fourth years to mentor students who are either freshers or feel that they need some help with whatever is going on in their degree. And if you haven't signed up either as a mentor or as a mentee, I highly recommend it. It's a great way to meet new people and to get a bunch of advice. The second thing we're doing is the Alumni Dinner, which is a yearly thing hosted by the Alumni Relations team, where we invite a bunch of esteemed guests down and we ask them to speak to students. And it's also a great way for you to meet people who have progressed far in their careers and have done really many cool things. The last thing that we're trying to do this year is to expand the alumni database. So this is by liaising with other law societies and our existing memberships database to basically compile a list of all the alumni who have graduated from Cambridge so that in the future, hopefully, we can run further mentorship schemes with alumni who have actually graduated to give members of CALS advice on careers or other things that they might be interested in. So I think the alumni relations team is really a really exciting place to be in, and I've had a lot of fun so far.
All right, Alden, you do a lot with CALS. You have been doing a lot with CALS for a long time now, most of your university career. Can you talk a little bit about like how to get involved and what your experience is like?
Well, my main piece of advice would just be to start coming for events, because CALS, I think the unique thing about it is that it has so many events. So there's almost one event every single day. And the thing about it is you don't have to come for all the events. You just need to come for those that you're interested in. So if you're interested in a career at the bar or a commercial law firm, then you should obviously come for more of the careers events. If you're interested in meeting new people, I'd highly recommend the socials events. So for instance, Freshest Drinks, which is happening soon. And there are many, many other things that you can come for. So for instance, if you are interested in pro bono work, there are so many subcommittees that you can apply for as well. I think the main thing is just doing what interests you and building a community around it with people who also are interested in the same things. There are also other ways that you can get involved in a more formal capacity. So as I mentioned earlier, subcommittees are a really good way to start getting involved. And we have these for departments like pro bono and mootic. So that's a great way to get into more of these activities if that's what you're interested in. The other thing you might want to consider if you're a fresher is becoming a freshers representative. And that basically means you're attached to the department and you shadow the officers in that department for about one or two terms as they do their job. And that's a great way to introduce yourselves to how CALS operates as a whole and how events are run and how that department runs things. Also, if you're a second or third year, I'd highly recommend running for main committee or the executive committee. These are experiences which are really hard to replicate elsewhere, and I think you really grow a lot and learn a lot from it.
That's great. Thank you so much. All right, Chloe. So you started off as a freshers rep with Per Inc., mm-hmm. and then you went on to become the deputy editor-in-chief, mm-hmm. and now you're the editor-in-chief.
Yeah.
Can you talk a little bit about that journey, how you got to where you are, what attracted you to Per Inc.?
Yeah, sure. So I applied only for Per Inc., I think, when I was looking to become a FREP, because I did quite a lot of magazine work at school. I ran like a English literature magazine and I really enjoyed doing that. So I was kind of looking to replicate that experience. And I really enjoyed my time in the department. And yeah, it's quite full circle to go from being a baby FREP to now being editor-in-chief. Yeah, it's been interesting. We did two editions last year, which were pretty successful, I think. And we got loads of submissions of TriPos essays and quite a few good articles. So I'm looking forward to just continuing that this year. And we're also introducing a new essay competition, which should be happening over winter break. So that's quite exciting to now like be on the leadership side of things as opposed to just executing and having a bit more control about where the department's going and, you know, what the vision is.
And what is the vision? How have things changed in the past 3 years at Per Inc.?
I think, I can't lie, there was a time when it did feel a bit less structured. I think it used to be a really well-established magazine. And I think for a couple of years, people got really busy and it kind of tailed off a little bit. So now we're trying to get it back off the ground and bring it back to what it once was. Maybe revive the blog. If you guys have ever seen on the CALS website, there's a blog section under Per Inc. that hasn't been added to in a couple of years. So
that would be something really exciting to be able to bring back. All right, can you talk a little bit like what actually Pura Inc. is? What do they do? What sort of things do they publish? And what are you looking for when you do make publications?
So there are two main, say, tranches to the magazine. The main thing that we're really known for and that I think is really of value to students all across first year to third year is we publish first class TRIPOS essays from the previous exam cycle. And this, I only found out about Pura Inc. maybe halfway through first year. And I really wish I'd known about it sooner, because when you come into Cambridge and like you're doing law, you're writing essays in a way that you never really have. And it's so different to what you do at school. So it's really helpful to be able to look to example answers from older students. And you can find loads of those from Pura Inc. all the way going back years and years and years. And we try to publish a variety of papers so that, you know, people can find a tort PQ, they can find a land essay if they need to, you know, an example of what good work looks like. And when we're selecting essays, the main thing that we look for is having a variety of papers and making sure that, you know, we kind of cover the whole syllabus. But within that, we also, obviously we take a look at scores because the people marking these essays, you know, they know what they're doing. But I think what really stands out to me sometimes is when people take a really unique approach to answering the question. I think that's quite interesting to read. Obviously, like a bog standard great first class essay is also great, but sometimes when people, you know, interpret the question a specific way, that's really nice to read. And then the other side of our magazine is articles. So these are just law related articles. They can touch on things like politics or economics, sociology, and we get quite a big variety in what people submit. But that's also great just to see what people's interests are. And it's a good place to start doing more research writing, because you don't really get the opportunity to do that with SUPO work. So yeah, would encourage people to submit.
Yeah, very exciting. What is the day-to-day life of like an editor like?
Yeah, I think compared to being a deputy, the main difference this year is that I'm now running the Pura Inc. email. So there's a lot of responding to queries and submissions over email. And so currently we haven't opened to submissions yet. We're doing it on Monday on the 13th. So once that starts, we'll get quite a bit busier. Just making, we start by sorting all the submissions, organizing everything, and then we kind of divvy the work up. And so it'll be like reading a couple essays a day just to see which ones stand out to us and what we want to submit.
Do you have like a favorite essay that you've read and you're like, yeah, this one's a banger?
Maybe. I saw one once where like someone had created fictional characters in their essay as a means of providing an example. So like they kind of set up a story at the start and then like would bring in the characters throughout, which was quite interesting. Yeah.
All right. Okay. Yeah. I think that's all we have time for today. Thank you for talking to me.
Thanks, Janice.
All right. I'm very excited to Pura Inc. submissions opening quite soon.
Yeah. Looking forward to seeing everyone's work.
Yeah. Exciting. All right. We've saved the best for last. I'm here with the president of the Law Society, Ji-won. Do you want to tell us a bit about yourself, who you are, how you came to this role?
Hi, I'm Ji-won. I'm, as Janice has said, the president of the Law Society this year. I started out with Coles as a publicity officer, and I also started this very podcast. So
how does it feel to be back on?
I started off doing this with a very outdated handheld microphone that was incredibly crackly and had to be edited thoroughly. But now we have an amazing tech set and lots of support, and it's great to see it growing. Wonderful what happens when put it in good hands.
Yeah. Yeah. So what was it like kind of getting the podcast up off the ground? Like what made you want to start a regular Law Society podcast?
So it was very grassroots, but I noticed a lot of the law firms and chambers had started doing their own podcasts. And it's a great way, lawyers are notoriously talkative, to get the word out about any issues that people are interested in. And I think also because as a law society, especially on Instagram, we've tried to up the interactions with our members a bit more. But I felt that sometimes the law society didn't really have a voice and a way to connect on a more personal level with many of the members. It was just, if they turned up to events, it was great. But if not, I felt like it could be a bit anonymous. So I wanted to create a way to showcase some of our brighter students and some of the best academics that we have around us. And it's been going quite well. We had some episodes on vacation schemes and studying tips, which I felt would have been really great resources when I was in the first year and trying to navigate my way through a new world. So I'm just hoping that will be how people use it and how people view it as well.
Yeah, I mean, as someone who did listen to those podcasts in first year, I found them really helpful. Like, it was really nice hearing from people who like did really well on Tripos and like seeing what they did, because it was such a wide range of people as well. Yeah, to each their own, really. Yeah. Anyway, what has it been like for you as the president of the Law Society in the past year? What has coming into this role felt like for you?
It's been really exciting and I'd say inspiring. There are so many departments. We have 16 departments, and trying to see and oversee what they're all doing, it's very insightful in terms of the amount of work that goes into just make one thing happen. And I think it's great to be able to be in a position where I can support those people in doing what they really want to do and giving them a platform to showcase that. So it's a lot of managing expectations and timelines, and apart from that, it's just keeping up morale. And I think even though that package on the outside is very simple, once you get into it, it can be quite complex, and trying to maintain the subtleties of getting people to do things while also retaining a nice relationship with them in order to just work with them better in the future. So I think it's a lot of mutual learning, but it's just been brilliant to see people making all their ambitions come true and seeing how ambitious people can be. Actually, for example, I think one of the things that has been the highlight in the past couple of weeks was the pro bono praxis collaboration launch. So we've been trying incredibly hard to get any kind of legal clinic initiative off the ground for a while. And it was just great to see students taking things into their own hands and launching that. So I'm really excited to see where that goes.
Yeah. What are some things you're looking forward to in terms of like how the Law Society is changing?
So I think it was great that we introduced the barrister's officer position. I believe Rishik is going to be featured in this podcast, so I'm sure he has more to say. But because it really showed that we were listening to what people were saying about the society, not only the great things, which we hear a lot of, but also ways that we could support people in their aspirations more. So I think that was nice. It was nice to be able to listen to people's criticisms and just feed that back directly into the society and its structure. So I really liked playing my part in the decision-making behind that.
What has been kind of surprising about coming into this role as president? And like, what was something like you noticed now that you didn't see as someone of the main common, like you do see now, like with a bird's eye view of the society?
So our society is closely affiliated with, but slightly independent from the law faculty itself. And it means that it's very self-driven, so it's very student-driven. And I think that's a quite unique aspect about it. But you don't see that when you're just on one of the committee roles and you're interacting mostly with students. So it was really cool to be able to start interacting with external sponsors or vendors and being able to like see the groundworks of how these things, like a collaboration between a law society and a external sponsor, comes together. We have great sponsors this year, a lot of the US firms, Clearly Gottlieb, Silly Austin, Wheel, and lots of the Magic Circle, Linklaters, A&O Sherman. And it's just great to interact with people who are trying their best to reach out to students and be able to help them. So I think that was probably what the main difference is actually between like a president's role and someone on the society, because we're trying to be able to support the rest of the committee and have their backs in terms of funding, but also knowing what our sponsors are able to do and things. So being able to work in that space has been quite unique, I think, and not something I fully thought about before I came into the position, because you expect it to be like a leadership role over the students, but actually you're also liaising with lots of external institutions. I'm going to override Janice for a bit here and just like go back into podcasting mode for a bit. But I thought it would be quite nice to be able to ask you a question about what inspired you to get involved in the podcast in particular, and what you're looking forward to most upcoming this year.
I am a bit of a fiend for podcasts. I love listening to them. The ones that I keep up with quite regularly are the New York Times The Daily podcast, which is like a news podcast that publishes Monday to Friday. And then on the weekends, they do like interviews or like Sunday specials. So I like listen to those every day. The things that I really enjoy are politics podcasts. The Rest Is Politics. That's a banger.
Oh, I listen to Rest Is
Politics. Yeah, that's like my morning commute. You know what I mean? And I find it, I just think podcasts are like a great way to like be thinking about things, even when like you're doing mundane things. So I think I really enjoy having like something keeping me going and something to think about like on the day to day. And I applied for this role because I feel like I've never actually done a podcast. I just thought it'd be interesting to see like how, what goes into it and like kind of the thought behind it. Since I listen to them so much, like I'm so serious. Like I listen to so many podcasts, but that means like, you know, I am up to date on like current events. And I think now like I'm trying to like switch a little bit more and like go into like more commercial podcasts and things like that. Like, you know, the Financial Times, they do a 10 minute daily briefing.
FT News briefing.
Yeah.
Odyssey has been very supportive of my own financial awareness. I can attest to that. I also recommend the Wall Street Journal if you're thinking in that direction.
Yeah. What about you? What made you like, what sort of podcast do you listen to?
There's a podcast called Criminal. Mm-hmm. And it's not actually about crime as much. It does talk about crime every now and then, but I really like that it covered other issues rather than just homicides, if that makes sense. So they cover things like fraud and family dynamics, or just sometimes just random, completely non-legal stuff, like people going off to an island and deciding to live off the grid. And I just found that it was quite a nice change from all the true crime podcasts. So it's not as dark. It's quite a fun listen, and lots of a range of things that they talk about. So that's been one of my number ones. But yes, Wall Street Journal is also pretty good.
Yeah.
Also listen to The Story.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When I was like first getting into law, like when I was like about 16, maybe, the thing that like really, really piqued my interest like in the field was this podcast called More Perfect, which is about like Supreme Court, like US Supreme Court litigation. So they kind of like, they've got multiple seasons and like they kind of like go through like some landmark cases. So it's like really big things like you still hear about today, like even like, and it's so relevant because like these things are talked about now. And like, you know, like if you follow Supreme Court litigation, they'll often like talk about like the landmark decision that came before them. So like that was like really fun, and it was a really good way to get into law, I think. And it's like the episodes are so good. They talk to people that were actually involved in the cases, so I would highly recommend that one. They've actually stopped publishing it, which is tragic for me. But hopefully like it'd be nice to like do something along that vibe, you know what I mean, like talking about like the big decisions in our times and kind of like how they continue to shape the world. It'd be good for like freshers as well to like kind of be able to like hear students speaking about things in that way. And it's like so I would say, like, if you are thinking of, like, applying to Cambridge or, like, really thinking about pursuing law, listen to podcasts. It's a great way to do it. Listen to this podcast. Lots of law podcasts are available. Yeah.
Yeah, I will say just, I think the reason why I started this initiative was because I wanted to create more ways that people could connect in the Cambridge law community. And it's great to see Janice taking that forward. And I hope like this episode will be a nice chance for you to get to know some of our committee who are brilliant a bit better. And like anytime, it's not just through this, but do stop us if you're at Cambridge in between lectures or around campus, because we're always open for a chat. But yeah. I think that's all from me for now.
All from me as well. All right. Yeah. Thank you guys for listening to this. Oh, thank you, Jiwon. Yeah. All right. Stay tuned for more. We'll be doing a lot more episodes.
Yes.
Lots of things in the works. I hope everyone's doing well.
I will also say that we're hoping to continue our speaker series started last year. So last year we had Lady Rose on the podcast. This year we have a number of speaker events, and we're hoping to also host them on this platform. So do keep an eye out for that. I'm sure Janice will keep you updated through our Instagram. Do follow us, and it's been great to speak to you.
Yeah, lovely. All right, signing off. Bye-bye.